greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world. We're glad to have you in here. We're on the transmitting jewel of the South, and we are hoping and trusting that you've set up to listen to us tonight, and we've got a great message for you. We're going to get right into the meat of the message. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a brand new series starting for you tonight, and we think that you will be blessed. Paramosis. Paramosis. You know what that means? That's a Greek word. It's used for temptations. We're going to title our message series tonight, Taking Out the Trash. Now, I know that might be a strange title for a message, Taking Out the Trash. But you see, temptations, according to the Bible, start in the mind. And, you know, let's just take Chicago, for instance. I'll give you a comparison to the trash that comes out of Chicago. You won't believe it. If you were on the thoroughfares going to where the trash is taken to out of Chicago, just for one day, you would be appalled at the trash that comes out of a city, say like Chicago. New York could be another one. We use Chicago here because it's a Midwestern state and pretty good size. And where do they take that? Now, they have to bury that. You do not need to bury trash in your mind. It's got to, you see, the Bible said the carnal mind, and as a man thinketh, or as a man thinketh, so, and that's a man, talking about the mind, as a man thinketh, so he is. So it's very important for you to get the mind, the trash out of the mind. We're going to tell you how to do that. And we're going to tell you that to be carnal-minded is death. You know, the carnal mind is it's just trash. And Satan got Eve, believe it or not, he got her with a temptation. She saw something that looked good. Now, it don't mean that it was good. It proved out to be the worst thing she could possibly do. It brought death. It brought suffering. It brought heartache. It brought everything that you can imagine that was evil. And you just don't need trash in your mind. And to get rid of trash, you've got to have a method. Now, of course, the method in the Bible, if you was to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, you'd find out that that's where Satan, he went after the Messiah, and he really got everything that he could throw at the Messiah, and he waited till he got hungry. And you know, I'll give you a little example here. I was watching our cat, our family cat, and you know, the cats, they like birds. They'll get out, and I've seen cats, they got a way of charming birds. And in this case, the bird sat up in the tree watching the cat, and it sort of got the schedule of the cat in its eating habits. And every time the cat was fed, the bird, which desired the food from the table of the cat, it would come down and sit, and then the cat would take its fill and leave, and here would come the bird. And he would check real close. They were real careful. And the cat got aware of the bird and its habits. And so one day, the cat went around, because the cat would go off and sit and lick its paws and wash its face after he, you know, the habits of a cat. And the bird got real brave, and started eating in the presence of the cat. Well, you don't want to eat in the presence of the enemy, because the enemy can learn your eating habits. Now, the Bible says if you are a gluttoner, you know, Tim, you know, to eat. The Bible said if you are a man given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. Now, that's an extreme way of talking about gluttony. But we just have so many people, especially here in America, that are glutters. And they're overweight. And this is a temptation. Food is a temptation, especially the way that the devil has designed the things that he has through advertisement. Yeah, every time you turn on your TV, you go down the road on the radio, and it's a Coca-Cola, and it's a French fries from McDonald's, and it's the Big Mac, and it's the extra value meal, and supersize it, and all these things. See, these are temptations for the glutter. And we got problems. Now, the Bible says to eat anything sold in the meat market without raising any questions of conscience. For the earth is Yahweh's and everything in it. But it also warns you just to eat that which was sufficient. Everything Paul said in the book of Corinthians chapter 10, he said everything is permissible, but everything is not beneficial. You know, I mean, you certainly want to take your fill of poison. You know, that's something to eat. You got to be discretionary. You got to choose your diet well. Well, somehow, you know, the diet of America, it's basically turned into a diet that is not too good. It just ain't too good, ladies and gentlemen, because anytime that you eat too much fat or eat too much cholesterol oil and things that they're putting in the food, fatty acids and the things that we have to cholesterol and things that we should look, but it tastes so good. Now the excitotoxins that they put in, it excites the taste buds like MSG and stuff like it. Oh man, it just tastes so good. You get on a Dorito, man. You get started eating them, you can't quit. Man, you'll eat like a. But they're loaded with MSG, and they're not good for you, because just as soon as you get your feel, you start getting queasy, and you say, "Well, I wish I hadn't done that." So you need to exercise the mind to discipline and to control and to avoid what we call the temptations of the devil. Now, the word aparamosis in the Greek word for temptations, and it is also presented in the word trials. We're going to get into that and show you that life is like a mousetrap. Satan will put the cheese in the trap, whatever tempts you, and you have a threshold of temptation. No man, when he is tempted and drawn away, can say that he was tempted of Yahweh, because that's Satan's job. Just like he drawed Eve away from Adam, Adam was not deceived and Adam was not into transgression. But the woman then alone was into transgression, and in other words, she got caught in the mousetrap. Now, when I say that you don't eat in the enemy's territory. You never let the enemy see your eating habits. Paul said, "If I eat meat, it offends my brother. I won't eat meat anymore." And so, you got to take your fill of life with conditions. You can have, if you overeat, if you eat the wrong things, you can have health problems. And they're not going to leave by themselves. You've got to really clean up the trash out of your mind that is causing these offsets here. And you've got to get away from the things that tempt you. Now, in Corinthians, we're going to later, Gaston, give you the basis of our message tonight on temptations. We're going to talk to you about how easy it is to be drawn away. There is no man above temptation. A matter of fact, the closer you get over the target, or the closer you get to Yahweh, the more that Satan lays the traps and the snares and the things that would tempt you, as it says. But in James 1:14, listen. We are tempted when we become enticed by our own natural desires. The first step toward avoiding temptation is recognizing our human tendency to be tempted by our own fleshly desires, and temptation is a given, so don't be surprised by it. It's coming. Rather, expect the temptation and be prepared in what you're going to do. And before you can do that, you've got to take out the trash. As a man thinketh in his mind, so he is. How trashy is your mind? Are you self-controlled? Are you eating and living and drinking and frolicking in the enemy's territory? If you are, you need to get off of the enemy's territory. Do not become like the bird. I mean, he was on the cat's territory. And he knew that. He knew his violation. He knew it was a temptation, but the food, he learned that he could get a free meal every time the cat's back was turned. But finally, the cat went out, washed his paws like he normally did, and as the bird come into the dish to take his fill of the cat food, well, the cat disappeared. And I washed him out the window, and he went away around, come in behind, where the bird was not used to the cat sitting, because the cat normally sat out there washing his face, and because when a cat takes his fill, you know, he's not hungry. But, oh my, boy, the feathers flew. And that poor bird, because the cat knew that the bird was tempted by the food and carried away, and yet he was eating in the enemy's territory. You don't want to dine with Satan. You don't want to put your feet under his table. You don't want to break bread with Satan. You remember when the Messiah broke bread with Satan? You remember what happened to the Messiah? He got him a trip to the torture stake. He that is eat bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Remember the prophecy going back to Eve? It's going to bruise your heel. It's going to bruise your heel. And that's what the Messiah was talking about, that he had to, of course he had to, this is voluntarily now on the Messiah's part, but you're not the Messiah. You don't have to give your life. You don't have to prove how devil chaser, how great you are. I don't care how big you are, the bigger they are, as the old saying goes, the harder they fall. And you're in for a fall when you eat and drink and live in the enemy's territory. And the way you get out of the enemy's territory is take out the trash. Just like I do in Chicago, Illinois, every day, the trash has to be removed. You ever notice when the garbage collectors go on strike? I mean, it's a pitiful sight. The residents don't know what to do with their trash. They're creatures of habit. They just take it down to the curb and throw it on the curb. And it'll rot there. And you know, the first thing that trash does, it draws rats. Rats. Now, if you spell rats backwards in the plural, rats, it's stars, or star. So you're going to bring the great star if you don't get rid of your garbage. Now you can take it out, but if you don't get rid of it, now the Bible says there's no temptation. Remember that temptations come into your life or when you're at the weakest. And that's how the Satan, the cat in this case, gets the bird. I mean, you get used to the bird being there or the cat being there and the cat's habits, and you think you've got the cat figured out. And you think you've got Satan figured out, and you think I've eaten over here before, and I've eaten the wrong foods, and it's not hurt me. It could bring a heart attack. Now, let me give you Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. You see that? The Satan likes for the temptation to be common. You don't worry about them if they're common. And Yahweh, who is faithful, will not let you be tempted beyond that you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it or deliver yourself from it. Now, this is necessary to teach you, like the bird that dared to light in the catch dish and become dinner. Now, if you're not careful, you become dinner for Satan. And Satan will dine on you in his own territory. So the first thing you want to do is to learn self-control. Back off from the things that you're tempted by. If you're weak in that department, learn that. Make a habit of that in learning of your weaknesses. And Satan watches you too. He knows your weaknesses. If you're a man and your weakness is in the sexual and you're attracted by pretty women, well, Satan knows that. And he'll send a Delilah into your barbershop. And she, in this case, the bird, is now the victim, the cat, you know, the woman, she becomes the cat. And you know, the common thing, you say, well, my heaven, what can this little 90-pound woman do to me? Yeah, I'm just drawn. I just can't resist her. She's a charmer. And I got to watch the way she walks, and I'll sit here all half a day and watch her walk down the street. Well, see, that's common. Your natural mind likes that. It enjoys pretty things. Nobody likes to look at an ugly woman. Of course. Beauty is in the eye of Satan. He reflects beauty. He'll send a beautiful temptation to, that's common. Now, you see, the common means that it's not like you see a snake and you jump back and you take a stick and kill it, or you run and flee from it. Satan is so common, and there's no temptation that is come upon you except that which is common to man. That's what it says. Paul knew that. He knew that Satan worked in commonality. Well, this won't hurt. If you're an alcoholic, oh, man, don't you remember how good that tasted? And you just take one drink, and there you go again. You're back done. You know, some people just can't drink alcohol. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Do not eat and drink on Satan's territory, and don't forget to take out the trash. That's my thing tonight. Let's clean up our carnal minds. The carnal mind is enmity. That means that as long as you're strong in the carnal mind, you're weak in the spirit. And it's strong as long as you... Now, to get strong in the spirit, there's a set of exercises that we're going to discuss in our series, of a three-part series, of taking out the trash. And we want you to really concentrate tonight on how to be self-controlled and alert. You know, the bird just sat and watched the cat and learned his habits. He said, now I've got his common habits. Now I can go down and take my fill and eat his territory, and I'm not gonna suffer any wrong, because if the cat is not quick enough to get me, I can fly away. Because I know the cat's gonna be sitting to the left of the food bowl. He's gonna go out, he's gonna sit in his favorite spot, he's gonna sun, and he's gonna wash his face with his paws, and he's gonna go through his cat rituals, and it became a hypnotic commonality for the bird. still remember the bird, the innocent bird. I can still remember his feathers as Sylvester had him for dinner. He just doubled up that day. He got very fortunate, and you shouldn't ever eat or drink or live in the territory of the tempter. You know, it's just like, you know, fire. It's an enchanting charmer. Fire is. You know, have you ever stood close enough to the fire? I remember we used to fox hunt a lot, and it was cold, and, you know, and fires are notorious for this. You get cold on one side, and you get too hot on the other, and you'll turn and twist, and you'll turn and twist. And the first thing you know, you get close to the fire, and the fire will get, you know, it'll get so hot, you'll get so conditioned to the commonality of the heat, and wanting to stay good and warm until, I mean, it just sets your pants on fire. And man, all of a sudden, you'll reach down and you'll jerk your pants off your leg because they're up against your skin, and it's just blistering you. Satan has got the power to blister you. He's also got the power to kill you, like the cat that had Sylvester for dinner. He's also got the power to tempt you to drink on his territory. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's the theme of Satan. And temptations. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Here, Peter is warning us that Satan, the tempter, is looking for someone that he can devour or destroy. It says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we must have self-control and be alert and remember self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to talk to you about in part 2 in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 through 25, that we can remain alert and self-control. Keep our focus on the Father, the Messiah, and He's the author and the perfecter of our faith, which is recorded in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control us and not be controlled with the temptations of Satan because we forgot to take out the trash. And here come the rats. And if you spell it backwards, the star. Here comes the star tempter. It breeds contempt. But no temptation has seized you or overtaken you that is not common to man. Now, it's true that Yahweh is faithful, and if you will repent and turn to Him, He's willing with the temptation. Now, He's willing with the temptation to make a way for you to escape. So that means you've got to face your temptation. If you become weak and tempted and drawn into a lust, the Bible says when we're tempted, we're enticed by our own natural desires. You see, Satan knows that. He knew that about Eve. When she saw that he was good looking, she said, and the man of the Bible puts it this way, and when she saw that it was good to look at, and Satan being the most beautiful hunk in the garden, the tree, he was a beautiful tree, a beautiful person, and when he told her, that was the first step. I mean, it was just like she'd saw him there several times before, and he walked by. And, I mean, there was a whole lot of shaking going on in her heart. I mean, her little heart would quicken, and it would putter and sputter and everything else, and she wasn't used to those enticing highs because she didn't get that around Adam. See? She didn't get that around the father, the other tree. The Bible said he was common, and when we see him, we wouldn't desire him. She didn't desire the tree of life. She wanted the tree of death. Or she wanted the tree of good and evil. That's what the Bible says. See, then she's eating in the enemy's territory. She forgot to take out the trash. Her mind was cluttered with the beauty of the serpent. And when you're enticed and drawn away, the Bible said you're enticed and drawn away with your own lust. But the Holy Spirit, it came to collect all of our trashy thinking and take it away. And if we resist the Holy Spirit, the unction, and it'll tell you you shouldn't do that. It'll tell you about the cat. You say, he's a fast cat. You better watch him. Oh, I think I've got this rhythm figured out. This is a free lunch. I just enjoy eating in the enemy's territory. And we find out that we are not as smart as we think we are. The Bible said when you think you stand, when you think you're strong, when you think that it don't bother you to leave your trash in your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to search your mind daily or it will grow trash. Bacteria, sinful bacteria, will begin to form, and if you get to wash and clean up, and you're too long over in the cat's territory, or you're eating and drinking with the enemy, the best way to eat, to get rid of these things is the wrong ideals that Satan has put in your mind, is to notice that Yahweh wants to give you a pure mind. And a pure mind is not tempted. As long as you've got your mind clean and you've took out your trash, now if that thought comes in there, the Messiah said, well, you know, if you even look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You say, oh my God, that's a hard one. This is to love your brother like you love yourself. That's a hard one. Let me give you a few ideas about the mind. This is a famous quote by John Milton in Paradise Lost. If you've ever read that, you know this quote. Here, John says, in your mind, you have complete privacy. You see? You say, well, now nobody, my brother and sister don't know that I'm lusting for that man's wife, or brother and sister don't know that I like that pretty girl over there. I ain't going to tell them. See, it's trash. And if you forget to take it out, if you don't clean that up, if you don't remove that, it will lay there till it piles up and it'll breed bacteria. And then you'll get mold in your mind. You'll forget. You'll get complacent with the commonality of how it feels so good to think about that. Just like Samson. How he felt good when Delilah was there, rubbing his hair and stroking him and doing all those wonderful things that a woman can do with a man. And in a sense of a woman being tempted by a man, the Bible says one of the ways, seven wonders, is a man's way with a maiden. How he can work her over like a piece of bread. You know, we're victims of what's in our mind. In your mind, you have complete privacy. It's common. Here, there's no difference between what is and what could be. Let me repeat that. Here, there's no difference in your mind, for you have complete privacy, where only a mind reader could know what's in your heart. You think you're safe. And nobody will see those things that you are harboring in your mind. But here you have complete privacy. It's common. No temptation which such is common. It becomes common. It's hanging around and you think of it. But you don't think nobody knows it. Here, there's no difference between what is in your mind and what could be in your mind. Now, what is the trash remains there. And what could be, if you would took it out, it would have been free of the trash and it wouldn't breed contempt. Listen to this. The mind ain't nothing without the old body tagging along to follow things through. I mean, even if you don't want to do these things, even if you're not aware of the consequences, you can't resist that old man that's not dead, that old carnal man. I mean, what man in his flesh wouldn't be attracted to a young, good-looking woman, or vice versa? A woman being attracted to a good-looking man, young man. Oh, my. physical concepts are free creations of the human mind. Now, I want you to remember that. Physical concepts, you see, that's the trash. They're physical concepts. You have your mind, and you have these feelings. These are physical concepts. They're natural and common. But you've got to bring your body under subjection and fight off the temptation. I know it's hard. The physical concepts are free creations of the human mind and are not, however, as it may seem, uniquely determined by the external world. In other words, they're hid in there. Listen to this now. Talking about beginning to take out the trash. The march of the human mind is slow. You say, I'll take it out tomorrow. And the trash is lust. The trash is envy. The trash is hatred. The trash is violence. We're going to get it in at part three. I'm going to take you to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to take out the trash when we get over there. We hope by the time we get over there that the march of the human mind, which is naturally slow and common, no temptation overtaking you, which is not common. See, Satan works on the common principles of habits. The way to get rid of a bad habit is to replace it with a good habit. Now, I know that's difficult because man, we get so turned on with some of these carnalities. The mind is so hospitable, it takes in everything like boogers. And you don't see until it's all over how little there was to learn once the stretch of knowledge has dissipated. You see what I'm talking about? You say, oh man, it's so hospitable, it feels so good to have that feeling man, I really got off when I told that person off. Man, it made me feel so good. It just felt so good. That's common. You know what? When they slapped the Messiah and beat on him, you know what he said? He opened not his mouth. He didn't fall for the temptation. Now, but the devil wants to say, you don't have to take that. Man, you could slug that guy and knock him into the next universe. And probably the Messiah could have done that. The human mind is a channel through which things to be are coming into the realm of things that are. I want to repeat that. It bears repeating for you. When you forget to take out the trash, the human mind is a channel through which things to be are coming into the realm of things that are. So whatever's in your mind, as a man thinketh, so he is. You've gotta daily take out the trash of the carnality. You gotta fast, you gotta pray, you gotta seek him, you gotta run from the enemy's territory. If you're hungry, don't eat till you get home. I mean, pass up McDonald's, the GMO, the station. I mean, you know, Big Mac tastes so good, it's so greasy, and the cheese, I mean, they make it look, you see the ketchup and the mustard and the pickles as they stack it up and double decker it. And they forget to tell you that there's 52 or 53 different types of meat ground up into one hamburger patty. And that the bread is nothing but white paste that will grow cancers and tumors in your body. Coca-Cola will destroy your kidneys. If you don't think so, pour a bottle of Coke on a piece of meat and leave it there for a couple of days. And you'll see what Coca-Cola can do for you. The human mind is a channel through which things to be are coming into the realm of things that are. As a man thinketh, so he is. And if your mind is carnal and you forget to take out the trash and empty it out and clean it up and wash it and make it whole and love Yahweh and pray close and stay close and stay out of the cat's feed bowl. If you're a bird, you don't need to eat cat food. you are a child of the king, you don't have to go down to where the peep shows are to get your thrills and spills. You see, that's all Satan's wanting you to do, is to peep in the door, and once you get in the door, you say, I wonder if there's anybody here who can see me. And you creep in, and oh man, your eyes, see the beauty of that? You see the trash? You forgot to take the trash out the night before. You forgot to cleanse your heart. You forgot to pray. You forgot to fast. Physical concepts are free creations of the human mind and are not, however it may seem, uniquely determined by the external world, and the mind ain't nothing without the old body tagging along to follow things through. And in your mind, you have common, complete privacy, or at least you think so. There's nothing different between what is and what could be. What is the state of mind. As a man thinketh, so he is. And the mind is elasticity. It has that unique ability in the human mind, capable of bearing much, but which will not show itself until a certain weight or affliction be put upon it, and then the powers may be compared to those vehicles whose springs are so contrived that they get on smoothly enough when loaded, but jolt confoundly when they have nothing to bear. In other words, you can overload your mind by failure to take out the trash. What are you thinking about tonight? Got your mind on a ball game? Got your mind on trick-or-treating tomorrow night? I know it's just for the children, Pastor Buddy. Truly wonderful the mind of a child is, but when it's victimized about the things that you say is just for the children, and yet you get your gratification out of it by being partakers of the evil deeds. I mean, what are you going to do when Satan, the tempter, has in your mind captured you? Because a good man is the lord of the kingdom, or a bad man is an idle field for the Satan to sow his seed. You see, when you don't take out the trash, it breeds contempt. Contempt of Yahweh, contempt of your brother, contempt of your sister. You forget to take out the trash. A good man is the lord of a kingdom, and a bad man is an idle ground for Satan to sow in. The eyes see only what the mind is prepared to comprehend. And if you forgot to take out the trash, you know, there's people that's got this hoarding disease. They can't never take out their trash. I know some people like that. They're good people. And yet they can't stand to see a bag of trash. They gotta go in it and open it up and sort it and take out what they think is valuable, or take the whole bag home with them and put it up and say, I'll go through that one of these days, and they never do. And there is people so literally obsessed with trash that their house looks like a garbage dump. And that's the way Satan wants you. He wants you to have a mind enslaved. And a mind enslaved is a body that cannot be free. Psychological freedom is a firm sense of self-esteem. It is the most powerful weapon against the long night of physical slavery. Are you a slave in your own mind? Have you forgot to take out the trash? What hinders you? You did run well, but what hindered you? I forgot to take the trash out. But it's common. I'll do it tomorrow. Procrastination. Clean up. You know, we forget sometimes that this weight of affliction of the trash, we get so common. I mean, you know, people will sleep with dogs. full of dogs. Dogs are not to be in a house unless they're well groomed and well kept. You can't keep 35 dogs in a house and expect it to be clean. It just ain't gonna happen. It's all right to have a house dog. I've got one. I would take a fortune for the little scutter. My little granddaughter is just like she's the only one we got here, and we got little Miss Molly, and bless God, we all love her. My wife gave her a bath today. You got to bathe them, you got to care for them, you got to take out the trash, and when they use the bathroom, if they happen to use the bath, you got to clean it up. Taking out the trash, it's more than you see, the mind is nothing but a heap or a collection of different perceptions. You see that? In somebody's mind, trash may be an asset. As the old saying goes, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Some people, you know, they think, well, I ain't even going to go there. Please, shall I? The different perceptions, when it's united together by certain relations and supposed through falsely to be endowed with a perfect simplicity and identity, is to know psychology. It's no guarantee that we shall manage our minds rightly. Einstein didn't even have the mind to know where he was at. Couldn't even tie his shoes, didn't he? He walked around all day with his shoes untied, and somebody didn't tie them for him. That was something he didn't, to know psychology. He knew it. But it's no guarantee that you can manage your mind right without taking out the trash. If you're preoccupied with the weightier matters and you forget those little foxes that spoil the vine in your mind, you forget how to take out the trash. The will in the mind is the driving force of the mind. If it's injured, the mind falls to pieces. You ever seen that happen? You ever know somebody suicidal? You ever know somebody that is lonely? I mean, I don't care how many people's around them, they're still lonely. The will is the driving force of the mind, and if it's injured, or if it's cluttered with trash, it falls to pieces. My mind, to me, is a kingdom. It's such perfect joy therein I find that it excels all other bliss the world affords or grows by kind. Edward Dyer. My mind, to me, a kingdom. You see, ladies and gentlemen, either Yahweh dwells there or Satan dwells there. Choose this day whom ye will serve. It is the mind that makes good or ill, that maketh rich or happy, rich or poor. As a man thinketh in his mind, and if his mind is full of trash, and his pocketbook is full of cash, you can believe that the trash will dominate the pocketbook, and he will buy just exactly what the trashy mind has got in mind for him. Oh, I need a new car. I can't make my payments to the tithings to preach these things. It's just all about money. The ministry is all about money. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Only in quiet waters will you see the things that mirror themselves undistorted. Only in a quiet mind is it adequate perception to see the world. Sometimes you've got to believe what the book of Psalms says in Psalms 46 and 10. I got this lesson when I was fasting and praying. Be still and know that I am Yahweh. Only in quiet waters things mirror themselves undistorted. And only in a quiet mind is it adequate perception of the world. If you clean out your mind, remove the trash, where you don't have any bacterial deposits of mold or rats scurrying around in your trash bin, spiritually speaking, and this is what I'm alluding to. Once you clean up that trashy mind, that carnal mind, it's nothing but a sewer of disinformation to make you think that you're right, because the Bible said a man's, every man's way seems right in his own mind. That's the trashy mind. It'll tell you, well, I'm just as good as so-and-so. How wonderful, how very wonderful the operations of time and the changes of a human mind. How wonderful it is when you clean up your carnal mind, when you dump the sewer or take out the trash, remove the rats, exterminate everything in your life that's not like Yahweh, and walk with perception, knowledge, understanding, the ideals that you have that you pass along to everyone, because you're known by the company you keep. If you're always laying around with trashy people with trashy minds, thinking about trashy things and doing trashy things, then your treasure is right where your mind is. And only in quiet waters can you see the mirror of themselves undistorted. And only in a quiet mind is it adequate to see the perception of the world as it sees you. Quiet yourself like a man. Stand up and take out the trash. If you could just follow all the trash trucks that come out of Chicago, think about what they left behind. Where'd the rats go? They're waiting for more trash. That's where they're at. There's probably enough sewer wharf rats in Chicago that you would be appalled at where they hang out at night waiting on the trash dump. And if you don't keep the mind pure, how wonderful the operations of time and the changes of the human mind. When you make a change, my God, the things that you once loved, you now hate, you're going to clean up that corner mind. You're going to take out the trash. You're going to kick Satan to the curb and let the Holy Ghost pick him up and take him and dump him. Babylon and all its desolation is a sight not so awful as a human mind in ruins. Let me repeat that. Babylon in all its desolation is a sight not so awful as that of a human mind that is in ruins. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. And by forgetting to take out the trash, you're fixing to have an awful mess on your hands. The mind is internationally and supranational. It ought to serve not war and annihilation, but peace and reconciliation. That's the Holy Ghost, as opposed to war. See, Satan come to kill, steal, and war, and destroy, and give you bad thoughts, and make you think bad things. Nothing is at last sacred but the integrity of your own mind. That's the battleground. That's where Satan and Yahweh's warring. Who's going to win? Choose this day who you'll serve. If you don't kick Satan to the curb and take out the trash, Satan's going to rule you. If you'll clean up your mind and separate yourself, fast and pray and seek Yahweh while he can be found, then you'll begin to see things clearly in the mind it makes to begin to take form. As a man thinketh, so he is. My heavens above, how wonderful it is to know that you pass from death to life, to see things clearly in the mind that makes it begin to take form. Form those good things in your mind, the things which are everlasting, the things which are holy. Enact a believe it is other than purely logical thought, our minds function much faster than any computer that's ever devised by man. Did you know that? We used to have a guy here at the tobacco warehouse, and he could go down. That was before computers. I think they had calculators. They were just coming in the 60s, and become to be, people were using them. And his name was Gene. And he could go down following the tobacco buyers would use Gene. He was an accountant. And I'm telling you, it was amazing how fast his mind could work. He wasn't cluttered up with everything. He had full concentration. People were crowded around shouting and hollering, encouraging them, the buyers to pay more, and they were cursing and everything down here. They used to fight over the tobacco price. It was awful. Gene just kept his mind. It's just like a worldly exercise. It don't profit a whole lot. You can kick and scream. But if you don't have the condition of a still mind where water runs deep, be still and know. The dispositions of the mind, like limbs of the body, acquire strength by exercise. Exercise your mind and take out the trash. You got my message tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I love you very much. And I hope and trust and pray that you won't forget to kick Satan to the curb and clean up the trash. Because the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And you wouldn't want to do that. Keep your mind on Yahweh. Serve Him day and night. Love Him with all your heart. When I cannot sing my heart, I can only speak my mind. Listen to that. When I cannot sing my heart, I've said, I'll give you your heart's desires. You go about singing, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I sing because I kick Satan to the curb. And my mind of trash is free. That's what you gotta have. Freed mind. When I cannot sing my heart, I can only speak my mind. When I can sing my heart, my mind is speaking. Of things I've lost, it's my mind I miss the most. You know that Alzheimer's is a terrible thing? It's a terrible affliction. Of the things that I've lost, it's my mind that I miss most. When I think of myself, my mind cannot soar to the higher things, but it's like a bird with broken wings laying in the cat's dish where it was eaten, half eaten alive by the crafty cat that charmed the bird with temptation for putting out the wrong food. Just as dogs love to chew on the bones, the mind loves to get its teeth into problems. That's why it does crossword puzzles and builds atomic bombs. Ladies and gentlemen, the mind. Watch where you put it. Don't forget to take out the trash and work while it's light, because, you know, as you very well know, nighttime comes, no man can work. I love you tonight. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. A wonderful man with a wonderful, amazing mind. Brother Paul, a wonderful man. 1-800-253-2748. Call him up and tell him Pastor Buddy was talking about the mind problems that we don't have when we've got Yahweh. That we've got glory, and we've got honor, and we've got faith that once delivered unto the saints. Praise Yahweh. And if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on WWRB 3.185. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. You can write me tonight if you'd like to write me and say, Pastor Buddy, I'd like to have your series. on taking out the trash. We'll do a three-part series, Yahweh willing. Don't go to the mountain of temptation unless you've got Yahweh with you. You know how Yahweh withstood the devil through the word. Write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on the Clear Channel, WWRB 3.185, also simulcasting on the Internet. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock sharp. Yahweh bless you.